Hey, I'm Michaela Lafrac, co-host of Vermont Edition. I wanted to let you know that the podcast you're about to listen to has been edited for clarity and brevity. Thanks for listening. This past Saturday, people gathered in Bennington to honor the life of Margaret Peg Bowen. She was an enslaved person who lived and worked in Bennington in the late 1700s. As part of the ceremony, a plaque bearing her name was installed there. It's part of the Stopping Stones Project. Here to tell us more about Stopping Stones and Margaret Bowen is Dina Mallory, the Bennington Museum's Director of Public Programs. Dina, thanks for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Now, first, what is a stopping stone? Tell us about this project.
Sure. So Stopping Stones was founded by Paul Growalt as a way to memorialize enslaved people and also to get people talking, get communities engaged in repairing some of the inequities that are the legacy of slavery. Things like, you know, inequities in education, health, justice, and economics.
Now, the program, when I was reading about it, it reminds me of, I'm going to say this name, but the Stolperstein or Stumbling Stones Project in Germany. Does this have any connection to that program? And could you tell us about it?
Yes, very much so. In fact, I won't try to pronounce it either. I won't use the English stumbling stones, were the inspiration for this project. So Paul was visiting Germany, and so the stumbling stones in Germany mark the last known residences of people who died in the Holocaust. And he was struck by how in Germany, they really talk about the Holocaust and children are taught about it in school. And he sort of felt like we don't do the same thing about slavery in the United States, that maybe we're not as honest about it as we need to be and not having those conversations. So he took the idea of the stumbling stone and turned it into stopping stones. So stopping stones are markers that mark the living place or workplace of enslaved people and include their names whenever possible and the dates that they were enslaved there.
And can you tell us about this newest stopping stone honoring Margaret Bowen? Who was she?
So Margaret Bowen, most often she's referred to as Peg. She was born around 1742, possibly near Hadley, Massachusetts, although now we are starting to think maybe in Connecticut. But she was enslaved by Moses Porter in Hadley, Massachusetts, and then inherited later by his daughter and son-in-law. And Peg lived on this farm in Hadley. And the reason that we know so much about her, as much about her as we do, is that Elizabeth Phelps kept a diary. And there's many mentions of Peg in the diary. It's in fact how we first knew that she was connected with Bennington. There's an entry in 1772 that states that Peg was sold to Stephen Fay of Bennington. Which got us all excited because we know who Stephen Fay is and where he lived, and he was an important citizen in Bennington. She was enslaved by Stephen Fay at the Catamount Tavern, which was the headquarters for the Green Mountain Boys, and she was there from 1772 to 1778, so really when so much was happening here in Vermont and in Bennington. And in 1778, she was sold back to the same farm in Hadley. She was eventually freed. She was freed in 1782, and then she died in 1792.
Hmm. Now, slavery is most often associated with the American South, but enslaved people lived all over the Northeast as well, including in Vermont, just like Peg Bowen did. Now, Vermont often prides itself on being the first state to abolish slavery in its state constitution, but people were enslaved here. Do you find that people often didn't know that history?
Yeah, I think that's very true. I think that we do tend to think of slavery as a Southern problem, but that's very, you know, it's not true. It was very present in the North. It had sort of a different form because we didn't have the same sort of economic structure as the South with the large plantations, but there were certainly slaves here. And I think that has often been left out of the telling of the history of Vermont. We take a lot of pride in the fact that our first constitution in 1777 abolishes slavery. But to be fair, that is a pretty significant thing. It was a remarkable thing to include an abolishment of slavery in a constitution at that time. But it misses a big part of the story. So if you read that constitution, first of all, it only abolishes adult slavery. So it's men over 21 and women over 18. And then the wording is very ambiguous as well. It says that those people ought not to be held as slaves. It doesn't say they shall not be held as slaves. And then it turns out that, you know, not everybody accepted that constitution. Not everybody accepted the new government of Vermont. And there were no provisions for enforcing the rules of that constitution. So slavery did continue in the state of Vermont well into the 1800s. And I think it's important for people to know that. I don't think it detracts at all from the importance of that abolishment or the work of abolitionists in Vermont. I think it adds to the story, certainly. It adds a lot of depth and complication to a deep and complicated issue.
Now, there's been a growing movement among museum curators and leaders in recent years to revisit their collections and examine what types of stories are being told through them, and often with a particular eye towards the oppressed people, like enslaved people, whose stories are often overlooked or underappreciated or taken advantage of by our institutions, including museums. And I'm curious how the Bennington Museum is trying to address its own legacy and its own collection. Through the Stopping Stones Project or through other strategies?
Yeah, this is definitely something that we're looking at. This museum was founded by white men to preserve a very particular slice of Bennington's history. But now in 2022, we believe that it's our job to tell the complete story of this region. And there were Black residents of Vermont and Bennington just as long as there have been white residents of Bennington. And we feel that it's important to close those gaps in our collection and in our exhibitions. So, you know, in recent years, we've been working with the Black community to do a better job of telling their stories and making sure that they are represented in our exhibitions. We've been working with Indigenous people to, that's a huge gap in our collection. Indigenous people were here for 10,000 years before white people were, and we really don't have that represented in our collection. So it's something that we are talking about every day and slowly but surely making sure that that's reflected on the walls of our galleries as well.
Now, you mentioned working with the BIPOC community. What are some of the organizations that you have partnered with?
We have partnered. So with this most recent project, we partnered with the Rutland area NAACP. We are also working with and partnering with people who are involved in equity work at other organizations locally. So, for example, we participated in Bennington's first Juneteenth celebration a couple of weekends ago now, which was done through the through our supervisory union, through our schools. We also partner with the local LGBTQ community through a group called Queer Connect here in Bennington. So, you know, making sure that we are participating in all of those sorts of community events and keeping those lines of communication open.
And lastly, Dina, where are the other stopping stones in Vermont that people can see besides the one in Bennington?
There are three other stopping stones in Vermont. Two of them are in Burlington, and the third one, I believe, is in Windsor. And hopefully there will be more in Bennington in the future as well.
Dina Mallory is the Bennington Museum's Director of Public Programs. Dina, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.